So, Gats here, if you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Battery start at just $79.99. They also have curbside pickup on any order. Enter the code DAN20 when you buy online to save 20% on your order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Evander Kane, Akeem Aliu, Matt Dumba, Trevor Daley, Wayne Simmonds, Chris Stewart, and recently retired NHL player Joel Ward have developed the new Hockey Diversity Alliance, an independent organization started by minorities who play professional hockey. Kevin Harvick won the NASCAR Cup Series at Atlanta for his 51st career victory. Before the race, the governing body vowed to do a better job of addressing racial injustice in the wake of George Floyd's death. And finally, Jamie Foxx's real name is Eric Marlin Bishop. The latest 30 for 30, Long Gone Summer, directed by A.J. Schoenaerts. I don't think that's right. Schoenaerts. I think it's Schoenaerts. It's Schoenaerts. Takes viewers back to the summer of 1998.
You're the worst.
It's Schoenaerts, I mean.
Okay, can we get to these guys, please? Yeah, like, please.
You're right. It's way more important.
I think the time that I get most frustrated with this is when the guests are on hold, just waiting there, and before we introduce them, you're stumbling around pooping on your shoes.
It's definitely Schoenaerts, I'm telling you. Definitely. Takes viewers back to the summer of 1998 when the St. Louis Cardinals' Mark McGwire and the Chicago Cubs' Sammy Sosa embarked on a chase of one of the game's most hallowed records, igniting the passion and imagination of fans and non-fans everywhere. Long Gone Summer premieres on Sunday, June 14th, 9 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN2. The film will be available to stream on ESPN Plus following the debut. Looking forward to that. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So Brandon Minter was saluted as something of a hero here, NFL manager of social video, because he put out with Michael Thomas and others that video that instigated what seemed like substantive change, at least the beginnings of it, from Roger Goodell publicly. And he is asked to come on here with Jerick Walker because he's been getting a lot of the attention, but there are a lot of people behind the scenes that made this happen. So a first question to both you guys, and thank you for joining us. How old are you guys?
Go ahead, Brendan. Hey, yes, thank you. Appreciate y'all having us on the show. And my name is Brendan Minter. I'm 27 years old.
And Jerick, how old are you?
I am 31 and getting younger.
All right. The reason I asked the question is because this was awfully brave, what it is that you guys did. First for you, Jerick. Brandon, please explain to us what happened here, first of all, for those who don't know.
Sure. So, at this point, I'm sure that many of us have seen this video of 20-something NFL stars coming together and sharing their voice. What happened here was years in the making, right? This has taken years of work from NFL employees, specifically black NFL employees, pushing back against the league internally and laying that foundation down. And this video that came out was just a catalyst for that change, in my opinion, that, took those voices of the players, took those voices of black NFL employees, and lifted them up, right, and made sure that everyone is being heard here.
Jerick, how were you and others helpful here in terms of what was happening, and did you worry at all that Brandon might be risking his job?
I think you know, and I've only been with the league now for 7 months, and kind of when this whole thing happened, you know, I saw it as an opportunity to speak up, and there were so many people that were speaking on these things, which was really special and really pushing our leadership to make sure that we do the right thing and go in the right direction. And, you know, specifically, I know about our team, and then also the Black Employee Network, which Brendan alluded to earlier, really has been pushing for years to create this change. And I mean, that video really was able to kind of bring it all together and amplify the voices of so many.
Brendan, specifically, can you take us through the details? And Jarek, I don't think you answered the question. Were you the back part?
No,
excuse
right.
me. The back part.
Yeah.
Were you worried that Brendan was risking his job?
You know, Brendan, he was so cool and collected once he realized that he made it. And I think a lot of us felt very strongly about the topic and about making the right move, that we were all kind of willing to put our necks on the line to make something happen. And I think what Brendan did is admirable. And, you know, I will call him a wild man for the rest of my life.
Brendan, were you worried? Were you worried that you were risking your job?
Yes. From the start of this, I definitely was worried. But as I've said many times before, I was completely at peace with that decision. If it boiled down to it.
Did you ever tell your bosses? And if so, when did you tell your boss?
Yeah. So I told my direct boss, Justin Anderson, who, so Wednesday night when I reached out to Mike Thomas, it was actually, Justin, his wife, Laura's, anniversary. Right. And so I didn't really want to bother him. I said, hey, I need to talk to you first thing in the morning. And so when we both woke up, we had a good conversation, right? And he was incredibly supportive of the message. And, you know, he had to escalate that. But, you know, at its core, I felt that support from him. And that was super important.
Jarek, why were you laughing at that?
Well, because when... How we found out, or how I found out, and a couple others, was actually after the video had already came out. And, you know, seeing it and hearing it, one, I mean, it was so powerful. You couldn't help but get excited and kind of feel a fire within you. But also the fact that, you know, the voices that were pushing were also coming out of this video, but through the athletes, which... for me, it was special. And Brendan was so nonchalant. Like, he was just like, you guys ready for the reveal? And he was like, we made the video. And then so it was really cool to, I mean, that was when I realized, it was in that moment I realized that he was a wild man. And so that's why I laughed.
Jarek, did you, when the league came out with its statement, your reaction was what to the commissioner of your league saying we've been wrong?
I was ecstatic. I had felt that it was a long time coming. And I mean, one, you know, for a brand as big as the NFL to be vulnerable and to, you know, have accountability and, you know, say, apologizing, I think speaks volumes. And then also to say Black Lives Matter and to say that the NFL wouldn't exist without the Black community, without Black people rather, was, I mean, I couldn't help but just get up from my seat and just cheer with excitement. And I mean, when it went out, the amount of phone calls that I received from, you know, family and my, you know, friends from within the Black community and how much that meant to them, it was really special. Really special.
How about your reaction, Brendan, when it happened? How emotional were you?
I was incredibly emotional. It's been a exhausting week emotionally, an exhausting season. And you know, it was really great to see. You know, I was so proud that finally those voices have been heard and acknowledged and supported.
Jarrett, do you wish the commissioner had said Collins' name in his message?
Tough spot.
I know.
I mean, what did you just do to the poor guy?
But Jarrett, you released a video. Like, you're good,
but,
man.
But God, what are you doing?
Tough spot.
Hey, my personal opinion, yes, but I think there's more there that, you know, more than I know there. But I don't see that being something that's impossible.
Thank you guys for what you did, and thank you for being on with us. Did you guys have to get permission to even do these interviews? Or you're not just rogue renegade rebels, right? Like, you can't just go on an interview tour. And, like,
they're doing it.
They are doing it, but who ordered the code red?
Well, have we done anything wrong here?
No.
Stugatz tried to get you to do something.
It was
wrong.
Listen, I feel terrible, Jarrett. It was such a bad spot I put you in. Terrible.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry. I laugh, though. I mean,
I did laugh. A couple drops of sweat came down. I know this is radio. No comment. I know you can't go back, but yeah.
Well, thank you for what you did, guys, and thank you for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
If you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Le Batard Show, plus our Miami Only Hour and our Best of Podcast on demand in the ESPN app, and subscribe to the Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Ryan, do we have the audio capacity to start a chant with all our people? Do we... can we start a bring back Jamel chant or a bring back Michael and Jamel chant?
Put them at 6 and 11.
What will that chant sound like?
Guillermo, definitely going to want to work this one out before right. You just toss it to a mostly white faces.
Guillermo at Le Batard Show. Should we bring back Jamel and Michael and put them at 6 and 11 and midnight and 2:30 a.m.?
You get rid of SVP?
Get rid of everyone. Blow everyone out. We'll work on that chant, and we'll figure out how to do it. The group wants to attack me here. Everyone is pushing me toward the octagon here. Mike, do you want to play that sound from this weekend on ABC, not on ESPN? I called Dana White a commissioner. He's not a commissioner. He's the guy responsible for sort of building the sport, but he's more of an owner than a commissioner. Dana White is the bully voice of the UFC, the bully face of the UFC.
I know he's the owner. He does feel like the commissioner. He feels like Judge and Jerry.
He feels like he's got a whole lot of power. So let's hear that sound from this weekend when Mike sent it to me. There's a big smile on my face, a smile that might be missing teeth soon.
Yeah, this was Michael Eaves, and silent in this clip is Halle Berry, who's actually along for the ride.
Last week on the Dan Le Batard Show, Dan seemingly challenged you to
a fight for charity. How serious do you think Dan is about doing this, and what's your response to that challenge?
Dan Le Batard is a big mouth. He's all talk and no action. And I can promise you, if he's even remotely serious, it ends very badly for him. But I will give you this. Dan Le Batard, if you are serious, I'll put up $250,000 for whatever charity we come up with. And we can do it, pal.
Okay, challenge accepted with big money, too. Dan Le Batard, you have 24 hours to respond.
I didn't hear anything about 24 hours in there.
Michael Eaves decided, I'm telling you, the power is shifting in this country, and all of a sudden, Michael Eaves is making the rules.
You want to tell Michael Eaves that he's wrong in establishing those parameters?
It's been more than 24 hours, right? I need to train with George Masvidal. I need the pandemic. Thank you. Yeah. I need the pandemic to recede. Man, Disney won't let us run sprints outside. I suspect there are probably some liability and lawyer issues we've got to handle here.
You'll be surprised how quickly they make the exception for this, Dan.
Wait, who went to Disney with a request to sprint outside?
I mean, whenever we were doing the sprints, they were like, you can't run outside. There's sand and someone can get hurt. Yes. And now it seems as though we have the promotional power of SportsCenter behind getting Dan to be punched in the face repeatedly.
Yes, Billy, what do you have here?
I mean, anyone else think it's kind of strange that we're not allowed to run, but Dan's allowed to backtrack here?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Well, wait a minute. Who's backtracking?
And every single one of my texts, Dan, you keep saying, well, I have a counter. You don't counter when you're the one that issues a challenge.
Oh, no, wait a minute. No. We are fighting about him not paying his fighters correctly. He does not dictate the terms on what's enough money for me. No, I've got my own $250,000 I could put up on a charity. I don't need his help there. What this is a fight about is how he pays his fighters. You've got guys, man, it's a long list of guys. You could go back to Couture.
Hold on. You want to verbally spar with him?
Yes. First of all, I do want the press conferences. Yes, I want the fighting press conferences without getting into the
octagon.
That's
the only thing you'll win.
Yes. That's a fight, but I'll win for a long time. The show will win for a long time with the content.
I feel like you can have this over the press conference and add some juice, but you are getting punched in the face, are you not?
Well, you don't know how well I can defend myself, first of all.
Yeah. Sure. Oh, my God. Regular Frank Mir.
Funny. You saw what Frank Mir did to Brock Lesnar?
You're going to get him in an ankle lock?
Just an ankle lock. That's right. Because my wife says to me, she says, my panda bear can't get in there. Can't get in there against, she doesn't know whether Dana can fight or not. I don't actually know. I know he says he's an amateur boxer, but I've heard other people say he was a boxer size instructor, which I suspect.
You know who else was? Billy Blanks. You going to challenge Billy Blanks to a fight, Dan Le Batard?
Here's what I know. Dana White can beat you.
I'm less sure of that. I'll tell you something else. You know who the headliner is in this fight? It ain't you, Dana. Like, it ain't you.
It's Dana.
It is not Dana. Absolutely not. People would be watching to watch me get knocked out.
Yeah, well, that's the expectation.
Okay, but that's Floyd. That's how Floyd Mayweather stole all your money for all those years. Yeah, like, you kept tuning in to watch him get knocked out.
Which one's a hateable one, you or him?
That's me. That's me. People would be tuning in to watch me get knocked out by especially those people, the knuckle draggers from that sport.
And you better let them knock you out. I mean, if you're going to come in with this Floyd Mayweather defensive, you know, avoiding, not really throwing punches, open up your arms and let him punch you in the face.
Yeah. He has been working on his shoulder rolls lately and also his rolls from Red Lobster.
My rolls of fat.
Yeah, that one too.
I haven't answered yet. I haven't countered. I've got a whole.
You have 24 hours.
We're not going to have. No, we're not going to have time. No.
So wait, you're going to put up 250 also?
I am going to talk this out.
Him? He's at least 290.
Jane Elliott is going to join us next.
Stugatz here. Support for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stugatz podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, but at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. If you need mortgage assistance, their team is available 24/7 to answer questions and offer solutions. Whether that means saving money on your mortgage or finding a new way to navigate payments from their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/Lebatard to learn more. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number is 3030. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Jane Elliott going to join us in just a second here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Here's your SportsCenter update. Evander Kane, Akeem Aliyu. I hope I'm saying that right. Matt Dumba. I said that an hour ago. Perhaps I could have checked on it. Trevor Daley, Wayne Simmons, Chris Stewart, and recently retired NHL player Joel Ward have developed the new Hockey Diversity Alliance, an independent organization started by minorities who play professional hockey. Kevin Harvick won the NASCAR Cup Series in Atlanta for his 51st career victory. Before the race, the governing body vowed to do a better job of addressing racial injustice in the wake of George Floyd's death. And finally, human testicles have taste buds.
We've done that before.
I just read what's put in front of me. I don't retain any of it. I just read what's put
in
front of me.
You didn't retain that?
No. I'm hearing it for the first time.
I hate when that stuff happens and we've got a guest waiting on the line and it's a serious guest and it's a good guest.
If you're like me, you love a good stat, but there's one stat you probably don't know, your vehicle's battery charge. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So after the assassination of MLK, Jane Elliott devised a blue eyes, brown eyes exercise to show people just where and how easily it is to find some of your prejudices. We'll get to that with her in a second. She's an internationally known teacher on the subject of diversity, an anti-racism activist. Thank you for joining us, Jane. Can you explain to us what you've been feeling and observing? I know it's a broad question, over the last 10 days.
I've been observing what happens when you allow a group of people who don't know what the Electoral College was for to select our president. And what we're going through now is the direct result of selecting a person for the presidency who didn't know what the Electoral College was for, number one, and who was willing to have the business roundtable people tell him exactly what to do in order to make more money for them and less money for the rest of us. I'm watching what I did in 1968 in a small classroom being acted at the national level on the streets and in the homes and in the all over the United States of America. What we did, treating people pleasantly or unpleasantly because of a physical characteristic over which they have absolutely no control, is exactly what has been happening for the last 3.5 years in this country. We have gone back to 1968 in our treatment of those who are other than pale faces. And I refuse to use the word white every time it slips out, but we are not white. There are no white people on the face of the earth. There are people who are shades of tan and brown. Nobody is white because everybody has some melanin in their skin. It takes us a long time to absorb that knowledge, but you better absorb it and you better do it now. The first people that evolved on this earth, the first modern human beings, were black. Make no mistake about that. And they were so brilliant and so courageous and so curious that they traveled from the area of the equator all over the earth and they populated every landmass on the face of the earth. If people would trace their DNA back far enough, every person on the face of the earth, living on the face of the earth today would find a percentage of those first modern human beings' DNA in their DNA. We all came from the same race. There's only one race on the face of the earth, and that's the human race. It's time to get over this nonsense.
Have you found the last few weeks hopeful after, I can't even imagine what your weariness has been for decades?
I'm not weary. I'm disgusted. And I am energized by the knowledge that my former third graders are smarter than the Republicans in the Senate today. My former third graders would know better than to allow a dictator, a person who wants to be dictator, to force people or encourage people to turn against one another. People who are citizens of the United States turning against one another in order to make money for the business roundtable. My third graders, my former third graders, would recognize that, and they would protest it. And many of the people who are out there protesting today have seen the films of the blue-eyed, brown-eyed exercise that are on television and have watched them and have learned that we don't have to put up with this. Frederick Douglass told us that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. We have found out exactly what people will take, and now they aren't taking it anymore. And they're going into the streets in massive numbers. And it isn't just black people who are going out there. It's people of all shades of brown who are now realizing that if you can do it to blacks today, you can do it to the LGBTQ group. We've done that, and he's wanting to do that. You can do it to women by closing down Planned Parenthood clinics and refusing to allow women not to have babies. You can do it to Muslims who have moved into this country and who are being told you better get out. We can do it to brown-skinned children and put them in cages on the southern border of the United States simply because this person who's in the president's residence has said repeatedly, we don't want those brown-skinned people in this country. They reproduce too rapidly. That's what I'm about, and I'm not tired. I won't be tired until they put me in a grave. But every time I go onto a college campus and give a speech, there are always those three little boys in the second or third row talking and looking up at me and pointing, and they're always wearing those red caps that say, make America great again. What they mean is make America hate again. This person wants to take us back to the 30s and 40s, which were pretty good for white men, worth a damn for the rest of us. And I stopped Brady March and I said, look, fellas, I know what you're talking about. Let me warn you about something. You will see me dead. If you kill me because of what I do to try to decrease the level of racism in this country, you might make a martyr out of me, and you might have to spend the rest of your lives celebrating J. Elliott Day once a year. Now, do you want to do that? And they go, oh, no, 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 no. I say, fine, then shut up and listen. Because that's exactly what they're talking about. And I really resent the fact that we replay and replay and replay the picture of that man being held down with somebody's knee on his neck while three other males hold him down. If you replay that often enough, you are deliberately, it seems to me, attempting to intimidate young black males and their mothers. Why do black mothers have to see that kind of threat on television every time they turn on the news? I don't think this is an accident, and I don't think this is because we want to show people how awful it is. No. We want to show people, black people, what will happen to you if you get out of line, and you don't have to get very far to be out of line.
Michael Bradley, the U.S. soccer national player, also agrees with you. He's a soccer midfielder. That's the sports tie to this particular interview because Jane Elliott has gotten away from us here on what it is that we're talking about. Can you explain to us? And I'm only laughing because this is a sports network and we're always being told to talk more sports. And it's just you're bringing fire all over that. You've brought a flamethrower to what it is that we're doing here today.
Good job out of you bringing about the sports,
yes, Dana. Michael Bradley, U.S. soccer national midfielder, has similar thoughts. Wow. Jane Elliott with us. Can you explain to us some of the backstory on blue eyes, brown eyes, the exercise, how it became?
Well, I don't like to talk about this because I get sick to my stomach. The day after Martin Luther King Jr. was killed, I was teaching third grade in all-white, all-Christian Riceville, Iowa. Our lesson plan for the next day for Friday was to learn the Sioux Indian prayer that says, O Great Spirit, keep me from ever judging a man till I walk a mile in his moccasins. We're going to put up the teepee in the room the next day. We're going to paint it with Indian symbols and we'll go all through that. And so I was taking it home to wash it, dry it, and iron it. And as I walked in my front door, the telephone was ringing. I answered the phone. It was my sister. She said, "Do you have the television on?" I said, "No." She said, "You better turn it on." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because they shot him." I said, "Who do we shoot this time?" Because it was like a joke. It happened all the time. And then she said, "Martin Luther King Jr." And it wasn't a joke anymore. And it wasn't something that we do every day. We killed a man who, for me, represented hope. That's what he was about. And HOPE, for me, is an acronym that stands for Holding On to Positive Energy. And God is my judge. The world stopped turning for about 3 seconds after I heard that. I was just sick. How would I explain this to my own children and to my third graders? So I fed my kids, got them to bed, washed and dried the teepee, spread out on the living room floor. And there was Walter Cronkite saying to three leaders of the black community, "When our leader was killed, his widow held us together. Who's going to keep your people in line?" I thought, my God, he was their people. He was our people. He was, President Kennedy was the president of all of us, not just of those of us who are pale faces. I was furious, so I changed the channel. And there's Dan Rather saying to three leaders of the black community, "Don't you Negroes think you should feel sympathy for us white people because we can't feel the anger at this killing that you Negroes can?" And I thought, okay, that's it. These are two of the males who are deciding what to put on the news all over the United States every day. I don't have to listen to this. I rolled that teepee up, I threw it into the closet, closed the door on it, and decided that the next day, not only would my students learn the Sioux Indian prayer that says, "Oh, Great Spirit, keep me from ever judging a man until I walked around his moccasins," I'd arrange to have it answered for them. Because I would decide to do in my classroom the next day what we decide to do in this country every day, 24/7, 365 days of the year. I decided that I was going to pick out a group of people on the basis of a physical characteristic over which they had absolutely no control. I was going to assign negative traits to them because of that physical characteristic. I was going to treat them as though all the negative things I was saying about them were absolutely true. I was going to lower my expectations for them, and when they lived down to my expectations for them, I was going to blame for what they did, their inferior grade and achievement, on the physical characteristic. And I decided I would do it the way Hitler did it. One of the ways you got thrown into the gas chamber during the Second World War, during Nazism, was by having brown eyes. If you had a good German name, and you obviously were a German person, but you have brown eyes, they considered you less than. They figured you weren't a member of the human race, and they threw you into the gas chamber if you were brown-eyed. They thought they killed hundreds of thousands of people on the basis of eye color alone. Now, if we aren't very careful, we're going to repeat the very thing that happened in the 30s. And that's exactly what's happening now. When I watch what's happening on the streets of the United States of America, before this person was killed, before Mr. Floyd was killed, we were reenacting at the federal level what I did with my third graders in 1968. It's going around again. And I was on an interview yesterday, and somebody said, "Well, it's cyclical. We can expect these things to go around." And I thought, and I didn't dare say it because I'm a good panel member, so I just kept my mouth shut. But he needs to realize that these are cyclical only if we allow that to happen. We have the power to put a stop to this nonsense, and we can't blame it on the police because they have had the same training that all the rest of us have had. They have been trained in the myth of race. They have been taught to believe that there's more than one race on the face of the earth, and the lighter you are, the brighter you are. We don't just teach that to children in school. We've been teaching that to children in school for 230 years in this country. We need to change the education that is offered in the United States of America. And if we don't change it, we need to stop talking about our education system and call it what it is, which is an indoctrination system. We teach you how to be a good American. We use the word American as if it applies only to the 48 contiguous states, Alaska, Hawaii, and the islands. America is everything from the northernmost point of Canada to the southernmost point of South America. All of the people who are citizens of those countries are Americans. We need to stop saying, our presidents always do it, God bless you and God bless America. No. God bless you and God bless the United States of America, or tear down that wall that we're trying to build on the southern border. Are we going to keep everybody who isn't American out? Well, that means we're going to keep out all the Canadians and everybody south of the border, because they're all Americans.
Jane, thank you for being
on. I'm not a pleasant person to ask questions of, because you're liable to get things you don't want to hear. Do you have another question?
No, Jane, we're out of time. We're 5 minutes past time. But thank you for the wisdom, the experiences. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it.